Good morning. I call the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee to order on Thursday, February 4th, 2024. There is a quorum present. Vice Chair Hewitt, this morning I'm asking if you have a motion to adopt the minutes.
So move, Madam Chair.
A motion to adopt the minutes of March 26, 2024 is before us. Is there any member discussion regarding the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of the adoption of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion is adopted. Next, we have before us House File 4590. Oh, sorry. Justin Brill. Welcome to the committee. I understand you are the new researcher for the House GOP. If you would like to just tell us who you are and welcome to the committee.
Yeah, my name is Justin Brill. I am taking over for Ryan for the next 2 months while he's gone on parental leave.
Welcome. We're very happy to have you with us, and we hope you find the committee to be a fascinating place to be, as we all love state government. Lee Nash, is there anything you'd like to say?
Apparently we all love state government.
How do we not?
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? It keeps the machine humming. So thank you very much, and welcome again, Justin. Next, we have with us, members, are you okay?
Yeah,
ready?
Sorry.
Okay. Next, we have House File 4598, Majority Leader Long, if you'd like to join us. Since you are not a member of this committee, I will move that House File 4598 be before us, and the motion will be to re-refer the bill to the Rules Committee. If you would like to tell us about your bill.
Thank you so much, Chair Cleaborn. This good government constitutional amendment stands for the basic principle that voters should choose their legislators, but legislators should not choose their voters. As folks know, we've been in split government for the last 50 years when districts have been drawn. In 2020, we had a DFL governor House and a GOP Senate. In 2010, we had a DFL governor and a GOP legislature. In 2000, a GOP House, Democratic Senate, and Jesse Ventura as governor. By sheer luck, the courts have been drawing our maps in this state for 50 years. The first bill I ever passed as a new member was to help improve the census to ensure we were maximizing our chances of keeping our congressional seat and maintaining valuable federal investments. And when I was first elected at freshman orientation, I approached a number of my new GOP colleagues with one question. We were a split legislature, and it seemed unlikely one party would gain complete control after the next census, so why not pass nonpartisan redistricting? Unfortunately, I didn't have any takers, and I think it's because on both sides, when you're right up against an election, everyone believes you're going to win. So we missed our opportunity after the last census, but we are far enough out now that I think it's anybody's guess who will be in charge in 2030. Our court-drawn maps have largely served Minnesotans well, but we take for granted that this is the way it will always be. One only need look at Wisconsin to see the undemocratic impact that gerrymandered maps can have, or if you prefer a Democratic gerrymander, look to Illinois. Trust in our government is important. In fact, it's the bedrock of our democracy. If we erode that trust, the public will rightly grow skeptical of our institutions and our legislative process. Minnesotans vote in the highest rates in the country. We have some of the highest civic participation across many measures. Fairness and public participation are Minnesota values. That's why we should take the important step of amending our Constitution to say that no matter who is in charge, our map should be fair. This bill learns from best practices and mistakes from other states. It includes many checks and balances to ensure that the process is fair and the commissioners as impartial as possible. The principles are largely consistent with those used by the Minnesota courts to draw our maps and are taken from our work from the House Redistricting Committee in 2021. We've engaged with dozens of stakeholders, both in-state and nationally, to get feedback as we prepared this bill, and I believe this proposal is among the best in the country. I also appreciate the bill that Chair Cleaborn is bringing forward today as well, and there are many similarities. I look forward to continuing to work together so we can work towards one consensus constitutional amendment for the ballot. The second component would incorporate the current one-year House rule prohibiting lobbying from retired members into the Constitution. Right now it's unenforceable, and this would make it enforceable. This is consistent with the one-year lobbying ban that Congress has set for itself. We would leave the definition of lobbying to be set by the legislature as it could evolve over time with changing practices. We've seen instances of legislators resigning in the middle of session to become lobbyists, often working on bills they were just negotiating, and we know this too undermines trust in our democracy. The third provision would increase legislative scheduling flexibility. It would do this by removing the mandatory adjournment date and the cap on the days of meeting per biennium. This is at its core a balance of powers issue with the executive. Given our limitation on calling ourselves into session, we have seen abuses by executives of both parties. Three examples. There was in the 1980s, and since then, six more times, efforts to unallot unilaterally legislative appropriations, and this included three times by Governor Plenty. Governor Dayton line item vetoed the legislative pay, holding our pay and those of our staff hostage to an unrelated policy demand and prompting a constitutional crisis. And most recently in the COVID outbreak, our emergency powers law was entirely based on the lack of trust that the legislature had that the governor will call us back into session, which resulted in the most special sessions in state history. The legislature is the closest branch of government to the people, and our voters deserve fair representation in the legislative process. We should be on equal footing with the governor in terms of when we can meet. And with that, I think there are some public testifiers. Thank you, Chair Cleaborn.
Thank you very much. And we will begin with the testifiers that we have listed. Michael Lee, if you'd come forward, please.
I am on Zoom.
Oh, thank you very much. I didn't see you on Zoom. So because of the nature of this building, I'm going to ask anyone else in the room to please not use Wi-Fi while we have a speaker on Zoom. The system cannot handle it. So please, Mr. Lee, if you'll identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Cleaver. Good morning. My name is Michael Lee. I am senior counsel at the Brennan Center for Justice, a nonprofit think tank associated with New York University School of Law that works on and studies a number of issues, but among them, voting rights elections, including redistricting. In addition to my testimony today before the committee, we have submitted written testimony on the redistricting portions of House File 4598 that goes into greater detail on a number of issues. Today, though, I want to say that House File 4598 is an extraordinary bill, by far one of the best thought-out and well-designed proposals for redistricting reform that we have seen come out of a legislature. After the 2010 redistricting cycle, which is to say the cycle before the most recent cycle, as part of our work, we went around the country and interviewed hundreds of participants in the redistricting process in states with commissions. The states we looked at included both states with independent commissions, like California, and states with less independent, more politically influenced commissions, like Washington State and New Jersey. We also looked at states where commissions serve only an advisory role, leaving the legislature ultimately in charge of passing maps. The people we talked to included commissioners, various types of community advocates, good government groups, and lawmakers. From that, we got a clear sense of what worked with commissions and what didn't, and published those findings in 2018, and I've included a link to that report in our written materials. To cut to the chase, House File 4598 meets every recommendation we made in that report, period, full stop. While there might be tweaks that can be made here and there, it is a strong bill that, if passed, we believe would be a model for the rest of the nation and well in line with Minnesota's tradition of being a leader in making sure that democracy works. We urge its passage, and I would be happy to answer any questions or to make myself available to assist members in whatever way I can, and hoping you get this very important bill across the finish line. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lee, and I'll just ask you to stay on Zoom so if we have questions, we can come back to you. Thank you very much. Next, we have Emilio Gonzalez Alvalos. Will you please come forward? Welcome to the committee, and when you're ready, if you'll begin your testimony, please.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair Clever, and members of the State and Local State and Local Government Committee. My name is Emilia Gonzalez-Avalos. I am Unidos Minnesota's Executive Director. Unidos Minnesota is an immigrant and new American-led statewide organization. We build power for Minnesota working families to advance social, racial, and economic justice across the state with organizing operations in southern Minnesota, central Minnesota, and the seven county metro region. I am an immigrant, a new American, And even though I've been in Minnesota for over 20 years, I finally became a legal permanent resident in 2019, which means that this year I am eligible to become a U.S. citizen. As a new American, I am grateful that in every step of my immigration status, I get to participate in our democracy. From having First Amendment rights and the ability to organize for the issues that matter to me and my community, and soon to be able to vote. I am here to testify in support of the Good Government Amendment, House File 4598, because Minnesota should be a place where our democracy is reflective of our values, decision-making is balanced and fair, and the people are at the center of every decision. I also want to mention that with me, I have my first U.S.-born who will be also voting in the next presidential election. Everyone should be able to participate in their democracy regardless of what they look like or where they come from. We support the establishment of an independent redistricting commission to provide more transparency and more public input in the map drawing process and to prevent gerrymandering. We must place community interests first and ensure Minnesota continues its five decades long tradition of nonpartisan redistricting through an independent commission rather than the courts. We also support ending the legislation to lobby a self-declining cycle by preventing current legislators from being lobbyists and former legislators from being lobbyists for 1 year after their legislative service ends. Dozens of former legislators are currently lobbyists, some resigning in the middle of their term to immediately become highly paid lobbyists. We also support improving legislative flexibility to perform constitutional mandated duties. This amendment will ensure all legislators, regardless of income, race, or geography, have the time, resources, and ability to respond to constituents' issues and emerging policy issues. Our grassroots work at Unidos consistently points at the need to continue strengthening our democracy and our democratic institutions to be responsive to all. For new Americans like myself, we share the common value of believing in working alongside all Minnesotans to protect our democracy. Having robust institutions centering people is at heart of the Good Government Amendment. We hope you support House File 4598. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And I just want to congratulate you on going through the immigration process. It's very difficult. So I'm very excited for you to become a new citizen and to exercise your right to vote. That's awesome. So,
thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you for your testimony today. We appreciate hearing from you. Those are the only two testifiers that I have signed up in advance. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to testify on this bill? Okay, seeing none, we'll move back to discussion of the bill and to member discussion.
Madam Chair, leave amendment.
Would you, Representative Long, are you ready to go to amendments?
Yes.
Okay, fine. We will begin with the A9, Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would offer the A9 and request a roll call.
A roll call has been requested.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A9 would remove page 2 of this engrossment, lines 2.9 through 2.20. Effectively, what Representative Long's bill is going to do is to create a year-round legislature or a full-time legislature. I can't think of anything potentially more frightening. I talk with folks in the district and around the state, and they convey to me their fear for their wallet and checkbook when we're in session. And I think that elongating the legislative session is really scary. You know, I will point out that the biennial budget has increased $20 billion last year in a mere 5 months. And that's a lot. And elongating the legislative session opens it up to even more. And I think that it's a potentially frightening outcome. So I appreciate that the groundwork, and I wish the pile driver was driving right now so we could hear the groundwork being laid for a full-time legislature with the expansion of the state office building. But I think that this is aspirational and misguided, and I think that Minnesota does not need a full-time legislature. So with that, I reassert my request for a roll call on the A9.
Thank you very much. Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd ask members to oppose the A9 amendment. Representative Nash is mischaracterizing what the amendment would do. It gives us more flexibility to set our schedule, but it does not determine how our schedule is set. We are often called back into special session for emergencies. Certainly gave the example of the pandemic when we were here many times over the summer. And if you look at other states that have the same flexibility as this, like Wisconsin, they are meeting fewer days in session than we are. So this does not predetermine an outcome, and I ask members to oppose the amendment.
Thank you. Any other discussion to the A9? Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Long. Would the language in your bill permit a full-time legislature if we decided to do that?
Representative Long.
Madam Chair, Representative Doe, the legislature would be able to set its time of meeting, and so it would be able to meet when it chose, which is a flexibility we do not have now. Other states that have that flexibility don't meet year-round, don't meet 24 hours a day. There's no state that I know of that meets year-round. If you look at Wisconsin, which I think is the closest example, they have a fall policy session, but they, as I mentioned, don't meet nearly as often as we do in terms of the actual session times.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion? A roll call has been requested on the A9. If you'll please take the roll.
Chair Cleavorn?
No.
Chair Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Yes.
Lead Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Yes.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Yes.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, nays are 8.
With 5 ayes, 8 nays, the motion does not prevail and the A9 is not adopted. We have the A10, who is Representative Harder.
Thank you, Chair Cleavorn and Majority Leader Long. This is an interesting bill, and my amendment would restore on page 2.11, for not exceeding the total of 120 legislative days. Removing the 120 days leaves it unclear as to how long the legislature would be in session. The 120 days clearly is long enough for legislators to complete the work that does come before us. Potentially, having a year-round legislature, it does seem irresponsible, and I question whether taxpayers would approve of year-round lawmaking, because if we are here longer, I'm going to guess, based upon the report that we got, that there's going to be some increased costs. Staff are going to be here longer, potentially whatever the salaries are now would double. And even regardless of the number of special sessions that we have had over the years, it appears that our current system appears to work, and there hasn't been a change from what I understand since around 1962. So I respectfully request the body here to support the amendment, and I do ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Majority Leader Long.
Thank you, Chair Cleavorn. Thank you, Representative Harder. I'd ask members to oppose this. I'd certainly be open to a discussion on what would be an appropriate cap on legislative days. If this would earn support from the GOP, I'd be happy to continue that discussion. But I think that an artificial limit puts too much limit on what the legislature's prerogatives are, and We certainly do not know what the circumstances are in the future when we might have an emergency that would need us to be here longer. We've seen some of these constitutional crises that I've given examples of with the executive, and so I think that 120 is too few, but I'd be happy to open discussion if that's something that the minority would be interested in supporting.
Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Leader Long, glad to hear that you are somewhat open to that. I think you should support this amendment down the road if you come up with the number 121, 125, whatever day you think you can get consensus on. But the point is that it needs to be limited at some point. We've seen almost every session, and there's even discussion this session, we're going to get done early. I will bet you $10 today that we will adjourn on the assigned day. Happy to lose that if I'm not right. But the point is
with we have sports betting on legislation.
Private wager, Madam Chair, private wager.
Are we a sport now?
Contact sport. But the point is that without a deadline, just human nature, but essentially the legislature for sure, continues. Part of the negotiating process is that it's been pushed up to a deadline. So if there is no specific amount, my concern is that it really is a full-time legislature that will could meet, you know, forever, essentially. And that's not healthy to actually working across the aisles, working with our colleagues to get our work done. We already probably have eroded trust in the public, I would say, that of our ability to get work done. And going to a full-time legislature, as Representative Nash and his amendment is raised, that is concerning to taxpayers. It's concerning to citizens of Minnesota of what new regulations and policies and freedoms will be infringed, what more dollars will be spent. And so Representative Harder has an amendment here. It might not be the exact days that you want, but it's a start, and I think your willingness, you should accept this amendment. And if you come up with a better number, then let's do it. Otherwise, I'm still open to the $10 bet.
Leader Long, any comments?
I'd be happy to take the bet, although Chair Cleaborn has admonished us for not going down the road, but I appreciate the openness to discussion down the road.
Any further discussion?
Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Harder. Is your amendment?
May I just have one
please.
More comment, please? Thank
please,
you.
Please, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm going to reiterate that I respectfully request support for this amendment. While the bill doesn't say that the length of days, there is the potential that we could be in session for a year long. So when the days were changed back in 1962, you can see over time how there are people who would like to serve in the legislature, but then are not able to because of their line of work. And what I'm thinking of is agriculture, the powerhouse of Minnesota. And over the years, the number of legislators that were in agriculture seems to have dwindled. And so I question, because I don't know what this is going to look like in terms of the number of days and when will it be. All of spring? Is it going to be during the fall when it's harvest time? This is a dangerous course to take where we are potentially limiting citizens of the state to run for office. And again, I respectfully request that we support this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll. Oh, the clerk. Sorry. Mr. Westerman.
Chair Cleaborn?
No.
Chair Cleaborn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Aye.
Lead Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Koznick?
Aye.
Representative Koznick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, nays are 8.
With 5 ayes, 8 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A11. Representative Joy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And on this amendment, it's more about transparency to me and language. That's going to be on the ballot question. And on page 11, line 1, and when you move down on the bill here, it's 11.6. And after the semicolon, what I'd like to see inserted in there is to permit the legislator to meet full-time beyond 120 legislative days and take out the word conflict of interest legislative reform. And my thing is with that is it's just more transparency when they're reading through this ballot question or whatever we're going to have. And I'm concerned with this bill mainly because of the full-time legislation offering. And in my district, I'm closer to North Dakota. That meets every other year, and they get their legislative work done. Minnesota, I think, us growing our legislative days is very dangerous in getting us into full-time. I really think we need to consider this amendment and look at offering this to the bill. And I think, Madam Chair, I messed up. It's on 11.1 after the semicolon.
It is. The amendment says 11.1. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, mm-hmm. and can I get a roll call on this?
A roll call has been requested. Leader Long.
Thank you, Chair Cleaveford. I'd ask members to oppose this amendment as well. As I mentioned, this is mischaracterizing what the amendment would do. States that do not have the restrictions that we do, like Wisconsin, are not meeting full time. And I think this is trying to put before the voters a misperception about the amendment.
All right. Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Representative Joy, any closing comment?
Madam Chair and Representative Long, the only thing I say is we talk about using Wisconsin as an example. We're talking about North Dakota meeting every other year, and we talk about the people closest to the legislator and make sure they have their contacts. It really starts at the local control and moves on up. So I think this is important to take this amendment, and I think I encourage a vote. Yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Westerman, if you'd please take the roll.
Chair Cleaveland?
No.
Chair Cleaveland, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Aye.
Lee Nash, aye. Representative Bonner excused. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, nays are 7.
With 5 ayes, 8 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the A11 is not adopted.
7 nays.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just took the last vote. Would you please give me the vote again?
5 ayes, 7 nays.
I didn't see it. With 5 ayes, 7 nays, and 1 excused. I did not see that Representative Bonner had to go to Judiciary. The motion does not prevail, and the amendment is not, the A11 is not adopted. Members, I need to recess for just a few minutes. If you can give me 5 minutes, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your indulgence, and we will reconvene the state and local government committee. We are on the A-12. Representative Nadeau, is this yours?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. This hopefully is going to change the votes this morning. I think this is a super reasonable amendment, and thank you, Representative Long, for bringing this bill. There's parts of this bill that I love. I think there's some really good things in here. What the A-12 does is it literally just breaks up the constitutional questions. Instead of having one, and I'm happy to read it and then break it up how I have in the amendment or not. But I think, you know, I was glad to see that you've worked with Brennan Center. I mean, they're respected across the country, especially on constitutional ballot questions. And we all know that clear, simple, plain language is the best way to go. And the reason that I'm offering this is because I think there's people like myself that would support one or two of these things. But if they're put together in a constitutional amendment, I think it would be a little bit more difficult. And I'm proposing this because I'd love for you to accept to break these out, have separate constitutional questions, and maybe we can get more done with it rather than getting less done if they're glommed together. And I'm looking into the future and have no idea how people will vote, but I'm bringing this because I really want it to be clear, simple, and let people understand exactly what they're voting for. So that's my amendment. Madam Chair, and I do request a roll call on this.
A roll call has been requested. Leader Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we are not a referendum state, and we're not a state that tends to put many questions on the ballot, and I think that's why in the past we have combined related questions, as we did with the legacy amendment when we combined funding for arts and environmental preservation. So these are related subjects, and that's why we've combined it, and I would oppose the amendment.
Thank you very much. Representative Koznick.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Long, are you familiar with the legislative term log rolling?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that term?
Is he familiar with the legislative term called log rolling?
Oh, Leader Long.
I'll let Representative Kosnick make his point.
Representative Kosnick.
Members of the committee, Representative Long, log rolling is a term used in a House research memo about the single subject clause. And what it does is, if there is a provision that is not popular on its own, you tuck it into a bill and roll it in with other proposals that are more popular because that one provision may not pass independently on its own. And so is it your intention to blend three items here into one amendment?
Leader Long.
Chair Cleburne, yes, that's the proposal, is to have three items in one amendment, and that's because they are all related to good government, and they are all related to government reform.
Madam Chair, I would support
Representative Kosnick.
I would support the amendment by Representative Nadeau. The intention here is to roll Independent Redistricting Commission to roll in another provision for prohibiting legislators serving as lobbyists, and then a third one, the number of days that we meet. And you're, by separating it out, it does provide more transparency to the public of what they're actually voting for and gives them more opportunity for their opinions and voice to be heard. What we're doing is log rolling these together so that they all pass together, where I think Representative Nadeau's intention, without speaking for him, is that not all three provisions may pass if the voters have a choice. And so, as you mentioned, your intent is to blend these together and make them pass as one. I think there's some constitutional concerns here with our, with what we're intending to do here and your bill, Representative Long. And so I think it's important to give the voters an opportunity to separate it out and not have provisions log rolled into this amendment.
Representative Kosnick, I'm very happy to say that I had no idea what that term meant, and so I don't believe that it is a practice of every legislator to do that, so I'm sure you're not impugning motives of individuals.
Oh, of course not, Madam Chair. Never would, but the representative, the author of the bill, said it is his intention to roll three of these provisions together as one.
As a single subject, Representative Nash, Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Representative Long, I have done a little research on this amendment with people in my own district. I've got a list of people, both sides of the aisle. And obviously, as you know, there are fewer Democrats in my district than there aren't. But I reach out to an equal number of people as I can. And as I was going through this, I asked some questions of people. And, you know, I asked them, should there be a redistricting commission? And it came back mixed. Should we have an amendment to prohibit former members from becoming a lobbyist? And, you know, there was some support there. There was a conversation there. The third one was, should we create a professional political class of legislators in full-time legislature? And they said, absolutely not. We don't want professional political legislators. We don't want a full-time legislator. That one was fairly distinct. As I went through that conversation with some of them, as I engaged with them, it was very clear that were these to be broken out, much like Representative Nadeau's, or exactly as his amendment purports, that there would be parts of it that would pass and parts of it that would not pass. And for a person who I'm sure appreciates choice, I cannot imagine why, to use Representative Kosnick's term, which, Madam Chair, I did not know the term log roll. I like it. Why would we log roll choice into one constitutional amendment question on a ballot? Because I'm sure we've all gotten those questions in the past. What does this mean? How do I – a yes vote means this, a no vote means that. We do that on the floor. But when you are looking at three fairly different concepts – professional politicians, ban on becoming a lobbyist for a year afterwards, and then a redistricting. Those are distinctly different concepts. And by rolling them into one, it really makes it difficult for your average voter. One person might say, I hate lobbyists, and apologies back there. I don't want legislators walking out of the Capitol and into a new job. And that may be their motivating choice. But as it turns out, they also hate the idea of having professional politicians. So I would urge you to have the temerity to break these out, because that is an important concept. And I think you said you respect the voice of democracy. You want people to have their voices heard. This amendment would afford you that opportunity.
Leader Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I'm not surprised that voters reacted to the way you were characterizing the amendment. As I mentioned, I think you were mischaracterizing it. But as I have said, we in the past have combined related topics into amendments with the legacy amendment. Voters will look at the entirety of the amendment and decide whether they want to support it or not. And that's what I'm proposing here.
Madam Chair, quick follow-up.
Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Representative Long, if you could, I'm trying to find the relationship between these and the idea of the interrelatedness, because not having a professional political class is vastly different than a redistricting committee, which is also vastly different from the other parts of your bill here. I mean, those aren't related. You know, let's think back to Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the other. Three of these things are not like the other. They are markedly different, and yet you're saying that they're similar. So if you would, please help us understand the interrelatedness of them, because I'm curious how you can go from having a professional political class to banning lobbyists to having a redistricting committee. None of those things seem to gel together. Maybe you could illuminate for the committee as how that works.
Leader Long.
Sure, thank you. They're all related to good government and government reform. I'll point that out, that they are more related, I think, than the legacy amendment, where you have arts and environment put together in one amendment. So I think I'm exceeding the bar that we've set for ourselves in the past.
Thank you. Representative Berg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Majority Leader Long, could you just help me understand a little bit more than just good governance, your opposition to this amendment? I'm just trying to understand.
Representative Long.
Sure. Happy to explain again. So we do not have, I think, in this state, a history of putting a bunch of different questions on the ballot at once. We are not a state like California that does 30 questions at a time. Generally, we have put one or two questions on the ballot in any particular ballot initiative. And it has been our tradition to combine related topics into one amendment and put those questions before the voters. And so that is what I'm trying to do here.
Representative Nadeau, any final words on the amendment before we call the roll?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Long. I mean, I appreciate that. I do disagree. And I wish that you would look at this as a way to maybe garner some support from a minority on your bill. I know that you pointed out that Minnesota doesn't offer a lot. I mean, that the ballot question you're talking about was people basically imposed a tax on themselves to protect natural resources. Some of the other things came along with it, but that was the primary thing. It was an increase in revenue to protect the natural resources of this state. And historically, Minnesota has offered a lot of ballot questions. It's as of recently, we've had less and less questions being asked. And as far as you're talking about good government, I think all of us want good government. That's not an anomaly. No one has a patent on that. You know, I think Representative Nash, in his comments, he was talking about, you know, the interdependence of these things. And I don't think it matters that much, or it shouldn't matter that much to you, whether or not you've got one ballot question that has three concepts in it, or you've got three ballot questions that each have a single concept. I think it would be far more beneficial for voters of Minnesota, again, to have that clear, simple language. And so I will renew my motion and ask for a roll call that we pass this. And hopefully, moving forward, Representative Long, maybe we can talk about this further. But thank you. I appreciate you bringing the bill. So thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any further comment to the amendment? Leader Long, I just want to thank you for taking a few minutes to speak to me about this. You know, this is an amendment that I'm struggling with. And so I appreciate your promising to work with me as this bill moves forward on this issue. So at this time, I'm going to ask our members to vote no on this amendment, but I'm appreciative of your commitment to continue to work with me.
Thank you, Chair Cleaborn.
Please take the roll.
Chair Cleaborn?
No.
Chair Cleaborn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Aye.
Lee Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg, excused. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, nays are 7, with 1 excuse.
Get it right this time. 5 ayes, 7 nays, 1 excuse. The motion, the A12, does not prevail, and the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A13. Who's bringing? Representative Kosnick?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A13 amendment. Committee members and Representative Long, what the A13 amendment does is you've got this consequential constitutional amendment proposed to go to the voters in just a few months, in the fall of this year. And certainly we've had some robust debate. There's some concern amongst some of the way that the amendment is laid out, some of the policy provisions in it. And I'm proposing that we continue to educate voters on what your intent is. On these three provisions, these three different articles within the Constitution that will be amended. And so in order to give the state of Minnesota adequate time to fully understand what's being proposed to them, we would move the date of the amendment from 2024 to the next general election in 2026. And I think as we have discussed here, and seems a little bit of willingness on your part, if I understand you correctly, to work on maybe the days that the legislature is in session. But to the previous discussion with Representative Nadeau, there are three different sections of the state constitution that are being amended or proposed to be amended. Section 3, Section 5, and Section 12. And it's right there in the title of your bill. And so it's very, very consequential that the public has an opportunity to understand the three different things that are being changed. They may be related in terms of how the government is run, but they are very different parts of our government. As Representative Berg pointed out, I think we should all strive for clarity that our public understands what is being proposed. Now, we have one-party control, and you can jam this through the state of Minnesota and kind of force it on our constituents. But I would hope that in the form of good government, as you've mentioned, the broad category of this bill, Representative Long, in the form of good government, that we could have some transparency and let the voters understand, if you're not going to separate the three questions and let voters decide how they feel on three very different subjects, not have it be log rolled together, that we can at least push out the date to let voters understand fully, and they're going to have to decide, I might not like part 2, but I like part 1 and 3 enough that they will vote yes, or they might say it all stinks and they should vote no on all of it. What this amendment does, Representative Long and committee members, is just gives us time to let the voters of Minnesota understand what is being proposed. And this isn't some little referendum that you might compare to something happening in California, a referendum state. We have the ability in the state of Minnesota to give, and we have the responsibility to give the voters a full understanding of what we're throwing down at them. We're not a political elite, career politicians that might understand this quite fully. The voters of Minnesota need to know what's being proposed and at them and how their government will be changed if this stuff is enacted. And so I think having not just a couple months to look at it, that having more time so the voters of Minnesota can understand what is being done. I would hope that members across the aisle that have concerns think it's appropriate to push this out a little bit to give voters time if we're going to do that. Madam Chair, I would request a roll call on this.
A roll call.
And I hope members would support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Leader Long.
I think, Madam Chair, I'd ask members to oppose it. I don't think this is a particularly complicated or controversial proposal, and I think that there is enough time for us to have this conversation between now and November.
Okay. And Representative Joy, you had a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Kosnick, for bringing this amendment. This is really simple, just moving the dates out. You know, the A-12 amendment that did not pass. We talk about transparency in my districts and everything like that. And one of the things when I came into legislature last year, one of the, my district and my constituents asked me, Jim, make sure we have transparency, we understand what's going on down there. And at the end of the year, they roll these big ominous bills together. We don't like them. We want one bill at a time on the floor. We want to understand these. And, you know, with this A-12 not getting adopted, of taking these three questions out or provisions out, I just think we're not given transparency. And we saw this happen last year at the flag. People didn't get educated. It came out and the flag got hit fast. And nobody was, they're like, why is the flag changing, Jim? How come we didn't get a decision? You know, again, looks bad on our government. You know, we want good government. We want clean government and transparency. When we log roll all these bills in and are trying to create a full-time legislator, I think we need to do more work. And as Representative Long said, we can work more on this. Well, let's give it time. I don't know what the rush is to get this through. So I would really encourage members to vote yes on the A-13 amendment. Thank you.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Majority Leader Long. You know, I know there's conversation about time and whether this is there. We've pulled almost every piece of this repeatedly, year over year. We've talked to our voters at the doors. We have talked about this idea of basic fairness, for example. Voters are not confused about basic fairness and who draws their lines. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. Everyone understands that having an independent commission to draw the lines makes sense, right? That we're not putting the thumb on the scale from either side of the political spectrum. There is not a voter out there that is confused about whether or not legislators should leave their job as a legislator and immediately become a lobbyist for the very issue that they were fighting in the legislature. There is no confusion there. And the last piece is this piece about how do we effectively manage government, right? The days that we meet. If we need to meet 121 days to get the people's work done, I think every voter I know would say, get your work done. They wouldn't have an issue with that. Now, certainly, we also appreciate that we need to be judicious with budgets and fiscal responsibility, as well as our responsibility to get our work done in a timely fashion. Everyone in this room gets that. We all want to go home to our families. That's reasonable. But there is no confusion by the public around any of these pieces. And for that reason, I would suggest respectfully that I don't think our voters need to wait.
Thank you. Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, so I will assert that everything that Leader Long just said, that this is a simple concept, I would disagree wholeheartedly, because I have talked to the voters. I have talked to people at the door. I have talked to people in my district. And it is unbelievably difficult for them to read this groaning large bill. And some of them don't even know what a lobbyist does. So how are they going to vote as an informed voter on what a lobbyist does? They don't always know. I think if you were to ask people walking around here, what does a lobbyist do? You would get a lot of different answers. If you were to ask the average voter, do you think that the legislature meets just long enough, not enough, or too long, most of them would say, too long. My wallet hurts after a $20 billion increase in the biennial budget. But to not allow for education. Certainly not to have taken Representative Nadeau's amendment is irresponsible, in my opinion. But if you believe that this is a simple concept, I disagree vehemently that this is not a simple concept. And you've got a large bill. You know, we've all been trained to read bills after a while. You know, when freshmen get here and they begin reading bills, we're like, okay, so what does this mean? And why is this struck through? Why is this underlined? What's going on? If you're going to put this concept out to the voter, you need a longer runway than just November of this year. And I couldn't disagree with you more, Representative Long, that this is just simple. This is not a chip and a putt. This is a difficult concept. There are people here who have come solely for the purpose of talking about a redistricting commission. They don't care that much about the other two portions of your bill. They don't. And yet you're going to create this bodge together. That's an IT term, bodge. Representative Bonner will back that one up. Using the word bodge means you're putting crap together, hoping that it'll work. That's what we got here. Vote yes.
Okay, we are going to, we have two more amendments, and we have two more bills. So we're going to move along. Representative Koznick, if you'll close quickly on this amendment.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and you've made my point exactly. We don't have time to debate this 45-page bill, but we're going to jam it down the throats.
Let's not.
No, we are. This is what we're doing. We're jamming it down the throats of Minnesotans if we pass this on. We don't have time to debate it, and you said it yourself, and this is why we should accept the amendment to let the voters of Minnesota fully understand what's being proposed in front of them and move the amendment date, if you want to do this, to the voters of Minnesota, move it to two more years. I think there's support that the voters should be informed.
Thank you, and with that, I'll ask Mr. Westerman to take the roll.
Chair Cleavon?
No.
Chair Cleavon, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Aye.
Lee Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Yes, please.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Koznick?
Aye.
Representative Koznick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, nays are 8.
With 5 ayes, 8 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the A13 is not adopted. Next, we move to the A14, and I believe Representative Harder, are you bringing this one?
That's my Madam Chair.
Oh, Representative Koznick, welcome back.
He's on a roll.
Well, Madam Chair, I think this amendment deserves ample time to be debated, but I think it's important for the voters of Minnesota to understand the stated intent is for good government. With the redistricting commission that's being proposed, there's certain restrictions on who would be able to be on that commission. This simply adds individuals and entities that have received government funds through a direct appropriation in the legislature to have a little bit more transparency, a lack of conflict of interest, that individuals employed by an entity that has received government funds would be prohibited from also serving on a redistricting commission.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd ask members to oppose it. The restrictions here, I think, are appropriately tailored to current or former elected officials or staff, and this goes far beyond that. I don't think it would have the intended consequences of the author. It might even catch up teachers who do receive work for an entity that receives appropriations from the legislature and schools. So I think this is something that we should oppose.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry, Representative Joy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, one of the things, too, I think about a lot when I'm looking at this bill and these amendments coming through is I sat on the Legislative Salary Council, and there was a group of us appointed to that. And when we talked about, you know, people know what's going on, people understand, we got selected from out Minnesota to sit on this and decide. And one of the big questions, one of the discussions was in there is how much legislators get paid, how long they meet, and why can't they work it done quicker? I was on that board for 8 years. I don't understand, you know, so when we talk about transparency and people not understanding, you know, we make these boards to make these decisions on redistricting or anything like what we're going to do on having these people in places, then let's take their word, because I sat on the legislative salary board and I know what people were saying. They were like, you know, so if I went back to that, if I was on that board again and went back to them and said, hey, legislators are going to meet longer and we're going to have full-time legislators, I know it wouldn't go well. And they were all represented in Minnesota. There was people picked from each area. So I just wanted to make that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And closing, Representative Klausner.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will respect the committee's time. Oh, did you?
Did you want to say, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you wanted to say something. No.
Well, Representative Nash can speak after me. I'll just be brief. You know, with this, voting against this amendment is saying that it's okay to have people that are receiving government funds also on this commission and directing probably in a way that reflects a conflict of interest to receive more government funds. And so this is a good governance, good transparency amendment that keeps it cleaner on who's helping decide the redistricting commission and prohibiting people that are at the teat of government from continuing to use their influence and power in that capacity.
Okay, thank you. Reed Nash, did you?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be brief. Representative Long, you said that you don't want legislators and others picking their voters. I'll riff off of that. I don't think that we want people who are receiving government largesse to pick their own legislators by being able to serve on the redistricting committee. And I can go through a litany, and Madam Chair is giving me the look like, please don't go through the litany. But I have a litany of organizations that receive government funds, and why would we allow for such a thing as they being on the redistricting commission when it's clear that they have a vested interest in concentrating power and perhaps gerrymandering? I think that this is a very straightforward idea that if you receive government funding, if you're a not-for-profit, like, we can all agree that Feeding Our Future was a bad idea. Would we want some of them on the redistricting committee? I don't think so. That's a bad idea. I think this amendment that Representative Kosnick has offered is taking the obverse of you saying that you don't want legislators picking their voters and saying that voters or recipients of government funds shouldn't pick their legislators. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All of those in favor of the A14, please say.
Madam Chair, there was a roll call that had been requested.
There was not.
And I'll request a roll call.
We were already in the middle of a vote. I'd already started calling the vote.
Then I can call division afterwards, Madam Chair. Your choice.
Right. Please take the roll.
Chair Cleavon?
No.
Chair Cleavon, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Aye.
Lead Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
No.
Representative Nadeau, no. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 4, nays are 9.
With 4 ayes, 9 nays, the motion does not prevail and the A14 is not adopted. We move on to the A15. Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move the A15 and request a roll call.
A roll call has been requested.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This would require, if the ballot initiative were passed, to have a special session of the legislature called in order to discuss the additional potential appropriations that would be required to simply fuel the now larger truck of state government. It would deal with what potential per diem payments might be, member housing allotments, legislative staff salaries, benefit adjustments, and so on, and allow additional time for the FTEs that might be necessary to facilitate a larger legislature and increased workload. So all that to say, if this passes, and man, I hope it doesn't, but if this passes, there's going to be a requirement for more work to be done by more workers, possibly. It's going to drive up the cost. I think that it's foolish to think that salaries wouldn't have to be increased, staff wouldn't have to be increased, heat, light, power is going to have to be increased, and it could potentially have grave impact on the state budget. So I think it's a very smart idea to convene and discuss these items. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Leader Long.
Madam Chair, I'd ask members to oppose it. Again, I think this assumes an outcome that's not required by the amendment.
All right, thank you. Any further discussion on this amendment? If you'd please take the roll.
Chair Cleavone?
No.
Chair Cleavone, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Yes.
Lead Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, nays are 8.
With 5 ayes, 8 nays, the motion is not adopted. Members, we've just gotten permission to come back this evening after session. We have 2 more bills to get through, so it's up to us to decide if we're going to come back after session or not. So we will go ahead and proceed. Representative Hansen, Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Long. You know, when we deal with constitutional amendments, people will look back and look at the debate and look at what happened. It's part of the intent, and sometimes we don't leave a record. You know, sometimes it's very quickly, and I think there's been a vigorous debate today, but I want to add something completely different to that debate. You know, and I've struggled with this as well, of how do we do this, but I think it's really important for a different reason. And it was brought up that, you know, we hadn't really changed things since 1962. One thing that has changed in the Minnesota legislature since 1962 is the rapid growth of the lobbying interests in our state. The massive expansion of lobbyists and special interests that come here and ply their trade. And I think a way to break those shackles is to have legislators that are informed, knowledgeable, learn their craft, learn the rep, and work for their districts. Now, there's a heck of a lot of people who are being paid to be here behind you. There are a few that are not paid to be here. And when the gavel comes down and we're done, there's people who also are paid to be working the executive branch when we're gone. And in order to have oversight, in order to represent people, not special interests, we need to have things like what you're doing with this constitutional amendment. We are not here to become lobbyists. We are not here to work for lobbyists. We're here to work for our districts. And things have changed over the last 50 years dramatically. They've changed in the time I've been here in 20 years. So we need structural reform. You're providing it. Maybe it's not perfect, but it is needed. It is needed to bring the democracy back to people in our state rather than those people who are paid to be here.
Leader Long, would you like to say anything about the comment?
I just want to make sure. Yep.
Okay, so we have gotten through the amendments and now we will discuss the bill as amended. Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, thank you, Representative Long, for bringing this. And Representative Hansen, thank you. I agree. I mean, a lot has changed even since I was here as a staffer, not that long ago. But I recognize that everybody's struggling with my amendment, you know, splitting this thing up. But I'm disappointed in what I see far too often this session is that these votes seem to be predetermined. You know, you come here and you say, well, we're looking for having some broad support, but you're unwilling to give an inch. And I hope that there's some power on the other side that, you know, can basically, you know, maybe get you to move an inch. And it doesn't matter if it's this or if it's other issues. There's people that want to participate, be they paid or not. And just because you have the votes doesn't mean you should take advantage of it. And that's my disappointment. I wanted to vote for this bill moving out of here today, hoping that you were going to continue to work on it. But why should I? It's just your bill. You get to do whatever you want. We're not going to take any amendments. They're not serious. You know, we're not intentional. We try to be intentional. So, and again, I'm going to be done. But thank you, Madam Chair. I will continue to watch this bill because I think it has some really good reform issues in here. But I've said this 1,000 times, one party, one person, one community doesn't have all the right answers all the time. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nadeau. Next, we have Representative Kosner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, I appreciate your comments. I'm not supporting this. Probably no surprise to anybody here. But I think it's your comment that it's not perfect is constructive. There's work that needs to be done. We offered some solutions. Representative Nadeau, you know, articulated that the votes being the votes, you couldn't jam this through to the citizens of Minnesota. I hope you don't. I would think Minnesotans might consider that a little bit of abuse of power. This isn't perfect. We have a constitutional issue, I think we could, of log rolling these things together that I would hope if this was to pass and be jammed down Minnesotans' throats, that somebody would step up and challenge it in the courts. And I hope it would be viewed as challenging to the Minnesotan voters and that you're log rolling these issues together and they should be separate and we should have more time to do that. We need transparency. And I hope that we do take the time, Representative Long. I might agree with some of the intent around these three issues, but to put them together and run it through to this ball, I think is just too much. And I hope you will take our suggestions here and figure something out that might be less burdensome on voters. So I will not be supporting this at all, but I do appreciate the debate, Madam Chair, and I won't be supporting it.
Thank you. Representative Joy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And before I forget, I'd like to request a roll call on this, too, Madam Chair.
On the vote for the bill?
Yep, for the bill. And then
roll call is requested.
I guess my whole thing on this bill is, again, I want transparency. And so many times when we have these committee meetings and we put amendments forward and we go, we're willing to work on the bill. And the people of Minnesota hear that. But the question is when are we going to work on this bill? When are Representative Long and my side of the aisle going to get together and work on this bill so the people of Minnesota know that we're trying to keep it transparent, we're working together, not just we're going to work on the bill where one side, the trifecta, works on the bill and then brings it to the floor and here we are. And they can pass it. They got the votes. But when we say we're going to work on the bill, let's work together. When we see these amendments and we want to continue saying we can work with these amendments, but I say a no vote right now and we don't pass these amendments to enhance this bill, when are we going to work? And we got to let people know that we're going to be transparent. You know, I know we're limited on time when we get to these bills and we have long debates and we might come back tonight, but we have to let people know that we're going to work on these bills and improve them if we're going to get them through. You know, this bill, to me, I have a lot of fear. I will be voting no on this. I thought there were some great amendments here. I thought there was easy amendments here, not like rewording the whole bill, just moving timelines. And I think that is, you know, I mean, no matter where we stand, even if you move the timeline, you're still going to get the bill probably across the finish line. But we can work on it then. You know, I have fear that this isn't going to get worked on, even though we say it does here. So I guess I would be voting on this. Thank you.
Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I've gone over some of this, and I'll go through a little bit more. But just wanted to reiterate, in 5 months of last year, in the first year of the biennium, the budget, biennial budget grew $20 billion. In a very compressed period of time. After the first year of the second year, the first year of the biennium, just this past February, we heard a forecast that from the Walz administration that warned about an impending structural deficit. And in that presentation, there was a warning not to spend recklessly because there was an impending structural deficit. Governor Walz just proposed a $250 million supplemental budget, and the majority party doubled that. They had apparently enough time to come up with more things that were necessary in state government, so you doubled it. With more time available, and we can differ on this, and apparently we do, but if you afford the opportunity, I'll put it that way, you afford the legislature the opportunity to elongate the time with which they will meet. That's, I believe, incontrovertible, because you've said, well, we'll leave that to the legislature to decide how long they choose to meet. If that time is afforded them, what more could happen? Are we going to see a $20 billion biennium over biennium? That's a frightening concept, and I think that we should not do that. We're effectively going to swell the cost of doing government, salary, benefits, heat, light, power, all sorts of things. And you've already, again, laid the groundwork for that under the previous majority with the building of or the expansion of this building into the cathedral to government. We are now north of 5,000 bills. How much more time do you need? I mean, 5,000 bills, that's a lot. That is a lot. So I wanted to crystallize all this, and because it's committee and you can use props, I brought one today. And it's if you give a mouse a cookie. I've read this bill, and there is no rule against that, Madam Chair, and you
the
know
the rules are the chair's rules. So, and I'm going to ask you to wrap up so we can get to the other people who are here
if
today.
If you give a mouse a cookie, they're going to want a glass of milk. If you give them a glass of milk, they're going to want a straw. And then they're going to want a napkin. And then they're going to want to make sure that their mustache is not a milk mustache.
To the bill, Lee.
Madam Chair, I'm almost there. If you give a mouse a cookie, Representative Long, with this professional political class, if we do that, it's going to be one thing after another, after another, after another. And the next thing we do is become California or New York, and perhaps aspirationally that's what you'll want. But we don't need a full-time legislature. Members, don't give the mouse the cookie. Vote no. Oh, and Madam Chair, I actually, before we move on to the vote, I would make a motion to table this bill. Clearly, there is some contention. We had to go into recess. So I'm going to ask to table the bill and request a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. It's not a debatable motion, if that's correct. So if you would please take the roll.
Chair Cleburne?
No.
Chair Cleburne, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Oh, yeah.
Lee Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Yes, please.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau? Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, nays are 8.
With 5 ayes, 8 nays, the motion does not prevail and the bill is not tabled. Next, we will, would you like closing comments? And then we will.
I'll just say thank you for the discussion and look forward to working with members to improve the bill.
Thank you, and I appreciate your commitment to work with me going forward. I appreciate that. And if you'll please take the roll on the bill. Earlier, I misspoke and said as amended. The bill is not amended. It is in its original form. Pardon? I'll renew the motion that House File 4598 be re-referred to rules. Please take the roll.
Chair Cleburne?
Aye.
Chair Cleburne, aye. Vice Chair Hewitt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hewitt, aye. Lee Nash?
No.
Lee Nash, no. Representative Bonner?
Aye.
Representative Bonner, aye. Representative Berg?
Aye.
Representative Berg, aye. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Hansen, aye. Representative Harder?
No.
Representative Harder, no. Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Herr, aye. Representative Joy?
No, thank you.
Representative Joy, no. Representative Kosnick?
No.
Representative Kosnick, no. Representative Nadeau?
No.
Representative Nadeau, no. Representative Newton?
Aye.
Representative Newton, aye. The ayes are 8, nays are 5.
With 8 ayes, 5 nays, the motion prevails, and House File 4598 is re-referred to rules. Members, we are going to try to move very quickly through the next. We have 2 bills. We can come back this evening, but we also have to be respectful of Ramadan. So we would have session and Ramadan break, and then we would come back. So if we can move through these next
Madam Chair,
Lee Nash.
Briefly, you've got your redistricting bill, and then there's a broadband bill, which I know is going to require a fair amount of time. There's no possible way to breeze through those. I would respectfully ask that we come back this evening.
We are going to go ahead and start on my bill, and we'll see how far we get.
Well, I don't think we'll make the second one.
Madam Chair, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, thank you. I move 4593 to be re-referred to rules, please.
Please present your bill.
Okay, and there are no amendments, so I'm going to keep my comments very brief. This bill has been in the works since 2019, and I would ask, please, that you go to my testifier, Anastasia Belladonna, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would she come down along with Peter Watson, Ms.
Belladonna is online, I believe.
Okay, and then Ms. Mortensen, if you can come down also, just so we're ready to go right away. Please come down.
Mr. Chair, while we're waiting on that.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And just pointing out the painfully obvious, we've got three members that were not here in 2019, and I think that...
I can go through the bill.
The bill could be in the works since, you know, 1962. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. We've got three new members here that have not heard this bill before, and it is unfair to them and to people who are watching to just say, oh, it's been in the works since 19 something or other, and it's going to be okay. We'll go to testifiers.
Representative Nash, as members, we're all supposed to be brief before we come into committee. I'm going to imagine your researchers do what our researchers do and give them a brief. This has been posted for a number of days now, so I think we're ready to get this bill underway. Madam Chair, to your bill.
Thank you. If Ms. Belladonna is not on the Zoom at this moment, I'm going to ask that we go to...
Good morning, members. I am actually here.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Presenting again, members. Mr. Chair, I'm Anastasia Belladonna Carrera, the Executive Director for Common Cause Minnesota. I'm here supporting the With Us For Us redistricting amendment, House File 4593. This historic legislation centers on the needs of Minnesotans, not politicians or outside interests. And thank you, Representative Cleburne, for moving this bill. House File 4593 was co-created with direct input from about a dozen community organizations from impacted communities, a broad base of other stakeholders, partners, members, and allies. Almost 2,500 Minnesotans have already submitted written statements supporting the bill to date, and we're counting. We're asking members to boldly stand with communities that have worked for over 5 years to co-create clean and transparent independent redistricting reform bill. Building a multiracial democracy must be driven by the different communities across the state, co-creating a shared vision for an inclusive democracy. House File 4593 has been in the making, as Representative Cleburne mentioned. Actually, slightly before 2019, that's when we first introduced House File 1605, which was this bill's predecessor. It began with countless...
Madam Chair, it looks like our person is, communication has dropped. Can we go to the next testifier?
If you would, please. Thank you.
Go ahead and state your name for the record and testimony.
Yeah. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Katina Mortensen, and I'm the Vice President of Policy and Partnerships for the Minnesota Council on Foundations. MCF is a statewide association of more than 150 grantmakers focused on ensuring Minnesota has a strong charitable sector and an inclusive democracy where everyone can be seen, counted, and heard. We support the creation of an independent redistricting commission. We know firsthand the power of community-informed redistricting and what independent commissions can produce. During the 2021 redistricting cycle, we partnered with 12 BIPOC-led and serving organizations to form the RMAPS Minnesota Unity Cohort. This group led over 100 hours of training and drew participation from more than 400 community members. Through this engagement, more than 40 community of interest maps were produced. This cohort then drew a unity map to recommend legislative and congressional maps. The outcome was a community-led redistricting plan that kept communities of interest together, United Minnesota's Northern Native Communities in one congressional district, and more. The experience proved that an independent commission is not only possible, but has the power to produce maps that truly reflect Minnesota's communities. Since 2018, there has been consistent work by many community groups to craft and advocate for an independent commission. House File 4593 is that bill and reflects deep community engagement and honors the wisdom, time, and experience of those that participated in bringing community voice to the process. MCF recognizes there are two bills aimed at creating an independent redistricting commission. We urge the legislature to draw heavily from the community-crafted concepts and ideas in House File 4953 and creating a final compromise bill. Thank you for the chance to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. Madam Chair, it looks like we've been approved 10:15. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, there is rules at 10:10.
I understand that, Representative Nash. We've got.
And there are members here that are on the Rules Committee.
I think there are two of us. Representative Chair Cleborn, to your next testifier, Mr.
Watson.
Mr. Watson.
And I would just ask Mr. Watson that we have received the DE, so we have had an opportunity to read it. If you would just go with your short testimony, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. Good morning to members of the committee. My name is Peter Watson. I live in Shorewood. I've been drafting and litigating redistricting plans since 1971. 50 years later, I was lead plaintiff in the case that drew the districts from which you were all elected. I first drafted a redistricting bill, commission bill, in 2007. A revised version passed the Senate in 2009. That bill was the basis for a bill I drafted in 2018, which was introduced in various forms in 2019. When House Files 4593 and 4598 were introduced this year, I read them. I especially liked 4593. I could see several of its provisions had originated in my bill of 2018. They have been modified by Minnesota voters and legislators over the years since. The bill aligned with Minnesota preferences. In looking for ways to make it better, my main concerns with the constitutional language were that it was has too little detail on the sensitive political subject of how members are appointed, and too much detail on administrative procedures that might need to be modified as time goes by.
Mr. Watson, can you? Thank you.
My main concern with the statutory language was that it did not lay out the process chronologically. As I moved administrative details from the Constitution to the statutes, I had difficulty finding where they would go because it was not laid out chronologically. So I fixed all that with the Delete Everything Amendment that the Chair has referred to. My handout in your packet for major changes describes how I moved that language around and the few substantive changes that I made. In this committee, or the Rules Committee, I guess, if you could reach an agreement on something like my proposal and Representative Cleborn's bill, I'd love to have the opportunity to vote for promoting democracy by voting on it on the ballot this fall. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. And one more time, we have Ms. Flanders. Let's continue with the testimony. Is there anyone else in the audience wishing to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we're at member discussion.
Mr. Chair, we were going to have a kind of a little walkthrough explanation of the bill and how it differs perhaps from the different.
Representative Kosnick, we moved on. So if you have a question, is that your question?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to table so that we can discuss this bill a little bit more and give the committee, and I would request a roll call, but I get it, you're in the
Mr. Chair.
In the committee chair, but we still are a committee that needs to do its work and fully understand what's in front
Thank
of
you.
Us.
We're that is the purpose. Is that correct?
That is the purpose of committee work. So
right, we're going to continue with the
Well, maybe we would just have committee discussion and not need to table it if you would allow the committee to do its work.
You asked for a tabling motion. We're going to go ahead and take that. Please take the roll, Mr. Wesley.
Chair Cleaverne?
No.
Chair Cleaverne, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Aye.
Lee Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg, excused. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder? Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, nays are 7, with 1 excused.
Ayes are 5. 5, nays are 7, with 1 excused. The motion does not prevail. Now to the discussion of the bill.
Mr. Chair. I mean,
yes, Madam Chair.
All right, I would just like for the members and the public to know that House File 4593 is a singularly focused redistricting bill, and it is the creation of the Citizens Independent Redistricting Commission. Much of what you've discussed earlier you like. There are differences between this bill and the other bill, but fundamentally this is a citizen-led bill. These are citizen voices that we listened to in 2019. We went back and we made revisions. As you well know, I was the vice chair of redistricting for the last session. We listened to citizen voices all around, independents, Democrats, Republicans. We revised the bill to make sure that we incorporated the voices that we heard from every region of our state and every political persuasion or non-political, right? So this bill is truly citizen-led, singularly focused to make sure that citizens are drawing the maps by which we are elected. I cannot say enough how important this bill is because it is citizen-led. And so for that reason and that reason alone, I'm asking you to have the opportunity to take this bill to rules. If you do have questions and concerns, my door is always open. And you all know that I listen to you and I take your voice into consideration. So I'm always happy to talk to you. And a bill is not done, as we all know, until we go sine-die or the governor signs it. So with that, I would ask for your yes support on this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Joy.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair and Madam Chair. You know, of course, you know my background. I sat on the Legislative Salary Council that was established in this place. And half of us were appointed by the governor and half of us was appointed by the Chief Justice to serve through Minnesota. I think this is a good bill because it establishes a council that's going to make these decisions, because from what I've read in history, as we're supposed to brief ourselves, even though we just came last year, that it's never been favorable for this legislator to redistrict and that ends up in the court system to get done. I think it's good to pick this. I have a lot of questions, like, you know, who's going to eventually pick who's going to be in this commission, who's, you know, to make sure they don't have political affiliations, lobbyists, all this thing. You know, how do you, that's really hard to determine when you get right down to it, to figure out who's going to be there. I was very interested that the last bill we heard was 45 pages. Yours is 57 pages. It's larger. Is there more just the details into it, Chair Cleaverne?
Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you, Representative Joy. And there are great details in it about how that selection process is done. And when you refer to the bill, you will see exactly how it's done and how the vetting will be done and who does the vetting. It's all in the language of the bill.
Representative Joy.
Thank you.
Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Cleaverne. I like your bill. And can you talk a little bit about the checks that you've put in the bill to the best of your ability to ensure that this commission is as nonpartisan as mm-hmm. possible?
Madam Chair.
I'd like to invite Mr. Huffman down. I know he's here, and he is a citizen who helped be the architect of this process.
Mr. Huffman, if you could state your name and title for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Paul Huffman. I'm the election and redistricting policy coordinator for League of Women Voters Minnesota, in that I'm a volunteer, non-paid staff member for the League. And in this bill, what we've done is, as Chair Cleaborn explained, is there's a number of provisions to exclude current or previous elected officials, family members of current previously elected officials, party lobbyists, other lobbyists for a period of time, people who are currently or previously in a leadership position with political parties. And these are all drawn based on the experience in other states and best practices such as from Brennan Center and so on. So those are some of the checks of that. Those requirements are in the bill. Everybody applying has to affirm under penalty of law that they meet those requirements. There is a removal process in the bill, such that if somebody is found to not be in violation of that, or you know who has been in violation of that, excuse me, then there's a process for the commission to remove that member and have them replaced in a similar process. So those are some of those checks.
Thank you. Representative Rideau, follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Huffman, would you be eligible to serve on this body?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Rideau. I believe I would. I am not a party leadership member. I'm not a previous or current elected official. I'm not a lobbyist. I'm not paid by any political party or by any constituency for this purpose.
And Representative Rideau, do you have a follow-up? I'd like
yep.
to
and then just my purpose. Final one. Thank you, Mr. Thank Chair. You. And that's the only partial problem that I have. There's a lot of advocacy organizations that aren't prohibited. We're quick to prohibit, you know, my son, or myself, or you know somebody. But you know there is no. There's a lot of secondary and lobbyists. If you're registered, I get it. You're prohibited. But there is a lot of secondary people out there that aren't prohibited. I'm not saying that they should be. I'm just trying to make sure that you know that we're looking at that. And I know that you will, Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you, Representative Rideau. Representative Cleaborn.
Yes, and I would like to say the bill requires that you outline those things so that everybody knows in the vetting process your participation, what you do, what you don't do. And they know if how you align. You say what your party affiliation is or no affiliation. So the bill is very clear so that everybody knows who's participating in the process. And again, I want you to know this is designed by ordinary citizens, right, who want the very best in this process. So I appreciate the question wholeheartedly.
Lee Nash. I guess Representative Kosnick.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Just more generally, and I like what you're trying to do. I would like a little help for myself and maybe the public understanding the purpose and, you know, why is the current system not really working? We have a Senate right now that is a one-vote difference for the majority. In the House, it's a four-vote difference. Traditionally, Minnesotans have chosen divided government. Right now, we don't have that. Some people, well, I won't go there, but, you know, traditionally we do have divided government that forces us to vet ideas properly and look at multiple viewpoints. And so the question is, why isn't the current system working? And I guess we'd just start there, and why do we need a different path here?
Representative Cleaborn.
Representative Kosnick, the system's not working because legislators are doing it and legislators have a vested interest in their own districts. So I would say, and I'm not impugning the intent of anyone, right? We become very attached to our districts. We like our districts. We know the people in our district. And so it's, of course, very normal for us to want to continue with that district, right? Because we like the people there. We serve them. We know them. This allows the people to truly decide who they want to elect them.
Follow up?
Mr. Chair, yeah. It's my understanding that if the legislature doesn't map out the districts, then it goes to an independent judiciary branch to draw the boundaries. And isn't that, I think that was my understanding that what the current is, am I misunderstanding that?
Representative Kosnick, you know the current system that we have. you are very knowledgeable of the current system that we have. I'm going to ask the chair to go on and move on to the next question. I believe that's asked and answered.
Mr. Chair, that was a legitimate...
Hold on. Let me... Okay. Representative Koznick, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, that is a legitimate question. It was asserted that the legislature ourselves are drawing these maps, and in fact, that's not... That is part of the system, is my understanding. I wanted confirmation of that. And this is a legitimate question to vet out why we're doing this and if your bill is necessary or not. I like the intent of what you're trying to do. But if my understanding, and maybe House Research wants to walk us through briefly how the redistricting process works, but my understanding is the legislature draws up maps, and then if we don't have agreement, it goes to a court, an independent judiciary, and they provide the maps there. And why, as I mentioned, we have historically had a balanced government in the state of Minnesota, not one party controlling all branches. We are currently in that, but historically we haven't. And so that's what I understood the process to be. And you're proposing a different approach, what I think might have
Representative
merit.
Representative Koznick, I have to stop you because now we are at time's end. So we are at recess for the call of the chair.